This is your 101.7 The Truth News Update.
Hello, everyone. This is Rhea Riley with your news update.
Two 12-year-olds are in custody after threatening a school shooting in Racine. The students, one boy and one girl, now face charges of making terroristic threats and disorderly conduct. Police were notified this morning of threats made by students to shoot up Racine Christian School, leading to classes being canceled. While initial investigation suggests the students didn't have immediate access to firearms, police did locate a map of the school. The two are now being held in juvenile detention, with those charges pending approval by the Racine County District Attorney's Office. A trial date is set for the man accused of killing Milwaukee police officer Kendall Corder. Jermaine Jones will stand trial on March 30th. The 22-year-old faces three felonies, including first-degree intentional homicide, attempted first-degree intentional homicide, and first-degree recklessly endangering safety. Jones allegedly shot and killed officer Kendall Corder and wounded his partner, officer Christopher McCray, in an ambush back in June. Jones could face life in prison if convicted. The Internal Revenue Service is providing tax relief for people impacted by last month's flooding in southeast Wisconsin. Those who live or have a business in Milwaukee, Waukesha, or Washington counties qualify for tax relief. This comes after a disaster declaration was issued by the Federal Emergency Management Agency. The IRS says those affected will have until February 2nd to file returns and pay any taxes they were originally due during this period.
This has been your news update. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris continues on the new 101.7 The Truth.
Bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of a judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth App.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. So Matthew is on this thing because I told him that, you know, they're talking about averages. But clearly you don't understand about averages. He said, I do. That's why you people who talk about student loans, bringing up those astronomical student loans like they are the norm. In graduate school, they're the norm. In professional school, they are the norm. So I don't know what you're talking about. Do you even teach in higher ed? No. So stop. You need to quit. Stop it. Average is just that. They took the highest and the lowest, divided it by the number of people. Of course, that number is always going to be around $40,000. The problem is, what's the median? Let's look at the median number. Hopefully, it's lower. So, bottom line, if you don't have one, what do you care? It's just another way. You're actually complaining that I'm trying to, like, talk about how to save money. Yeah, that sounds about right. Anyway, got to take a break. Almost jumped back. You almost got me back in. Almost got me back in, Matthew. But good chopping it up.
Number 5.
This from WISN.com. Republicans in Wisconsin are set to propose sweeping changes to how ballot drop boxes are used and monitored in legislation set to be introduced next week. Representative Scott Krug, Assembly Assistant Majority Leader and Vice Chair of the Assembly Elections Committee, will detail the proposals in an interview this Sunday on Upfront. The bill would also allow election officials to begin processing absentee ballots the day before Election Day, known as the Monday Processing Bill, which has previously failed to pass legislature despite bipartisan support. I think that's a great idea. I think the sooner we can get it in, the better. Personally, I think we should have a holiday, a work moratorium, something, so that, or just open them up for a week, right? Count it, and like we need a better system, because this all going on one day stuff is for the birds. The bill will also allow election officials, again, to begin processing the day before the election. And in return, in an effort to gain more Republican support in the state Senate, the bill would mandate new security measures for municipalities that use drop boxes. I can kind of get with that. I don't trust a person that I don't know who the person is, and they're collecting ballots and said they're going to drop them off downtown. I don't know you. Who are you? Oh, I'm just going around all my friends and I'll take. No. The changes include 24-hour surveillance video of each drop box that will be live streamed to the municipality's website. Ballots would also need to be transferred under the supervision of a law enforcement officer. The legislation would also impose a penalty for clerks who correct errors on absentee ballot requests. I would think that was done already. But I think what has to happen is before that, we need better education to teach people how to actually understand voting.
Number 4.
This from jsonline.com. Now, I'm reading this story because this person is not my favorite person. It has nothing to do with the Trump administration, nothing have to do with that. She says that this year's biggest schoolyard bully is the federal government. That's what Jill Underly, Wisconsin's top K-12 elected official, said during the 2025 State of Education address in Madison. She used the annual ceremony to outline her priorities as superintendent of public instruction. Her themes were like this. Federal government is using funding as a bargaining chip. That's what they always do. They do it with transportation. They do it with health. They do it with education. Okay. Celebrating diversity, she criticized the federal government for working to undermine the very things that make our schools strong, welcoming, and inclusive places. I'd agree. Diversity is celebrated, not demonized. I agree. She said on state politics, she criticizes funding structures. Only if you're giving money back to people who pay into it, and having the money go directly to the kids, because all you really want is more money for teachers. Then they said the gap between of test scores between black and white children in Wisconsin. In 2024, 51% of white fourth graders tested proficient or better in math, according to standardized testing data. For black students, it was 5%. She referenced those scores during her speech and said, for too long, Wisconsin has carried a painful and unacceptable label. So let me get this right. You, your predecessor, who's now governor, and every other person that's been state superintendent ain't done jack. Is that proper terminology? Ain't done jack to change it. Blame the schools. Said they didn't have money, but never lifted a finger to do it, to the point where you actually changed the name of what you label students when they take the tests and get a score, and you want them to make it sound so soft and helpful for them, when in fact they can't read. And you haven't done anything. You are the top K-12 elected official, and you haven't done jack. But this is the same woman that when her school got bad, her and her husband made enough money to send her kid to another school. But kids in Milwaukee should not have that chance. Other students shouldn't have that chance. You have to be able to take advantage of the whiteness of wealth to do what you want to do. Oh, okay, Jill. Yeah, anyway. Next.
Number three.
I don't know if you heard from thegrio.com. ABC suspended Jimmy Kimmel's late night show indefinitely yesterday after comments he made about Charlie Kirk's killing led a group of ABC affiliate stations to say they would not air the show and provoke some ominous comments from a top federal regulator. Well, it wasn't a top federal regulator. It was the FCC chairman. Like, my gosh, be accurate. The veteran late night comic made several remarks about the reaction to the conservative activist assassination last week on Jimmy Kimmel Live this past Monday and Tuesday nights, including that many in MAGA land are working very hard to capitalize on the murder of Charlie Kirk. And he said some other things, too. It's those places' prerogative if they want to cancel or not, or cancel Jimmy Kimmel or all that. But remember, you're on public broadcasting waves, and it's run by the government, and you know who's in the government now. So I don't know why you're shocked that something actually happened.
Number two.
From CBS 58, a 13-year-old boy arrested in connection to a shooting that killed the 11-year-old on Tuesday night appeared in court for the first time this afternoon. We're not naming him because, of course, he's a minor. Police say 11-year-old Deion Sargent died earlier this week as a result of a robbery. Mayor Cavalier Johnson says police told him Sargent was wrestling with another child over a gun when it went off. On last night, loved ones held a vigil and balloon release near 68th and Silver Spring where the shooting occurred. The 13-year-old suspect will have his next appearance on Monday, September 22nd at 2:30 p.m.
Number one.
This from WISN.com. A Milwaukee police officer shot a 21-year-old man late last night after a chase on the city's south side. According to police, officers stopped the vehicle around 11:30 p.m. near 12th and Greenfield Avenue in the Walker Square neighborhood, and the driver got out and ran. Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman said at a news conference, during the foot pursuit, officers gave the suspect commands to stop. The suspect dropped a firearm and attempted to retrieve it at the time the officer discharged his firearm, subsequently striking the suspect. No officers were struck by gunfire, and the suspect was taken to a hospital and is expected to survive. Police say a firearm was recovered at the scene. The man was arrested, and criminal charges will be referred to the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office. 12 News did ask Chief Norman why officers initially stopped the vehicle. He said he didn't have the answer yet, adding that it's under investigation. Does it matter? Like, I don't understand that. But does it matter if the person, like, why the fact is the person ran. Now, should he have been shot? I don't know. 833-212-1017 is the number. You going to jump back in, Matthew? Come on, we've been chopping it up for God knows how long. You're looking at Pew Research. Come on, dude. If you want information about something that's a government function, you should probably check with the agency that handles that. It's called the Department of Education. When we come back, speaking of education, we're covering the book by Dorothy A. Brown, The Whiteness of Wealth. We're going to talk about good jobs.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. When a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things to them is honoring that trust and commitment. A lot of customers might have apprehensions about inviting someone out to their home, but when you see the experience and professionalism you can trust them with bringing your project to life. Their vision is to be the company that people want to do business with. Order by the end of the day. Well, maybe you'll make it end of the month. You get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com. That's PellaWI.com. Can somebody call somebody? This button for the headsets has so much dust in it that I can't hear myself. It crackles to the point where I can't even hear myself. Can't hear myself. Can't hear myself. 833-212-1017 is the number. He was making fun of Trump and not making fun of CK. I don't even know what that means. Hey, Dr. Ken, hope your day is going great. Thank you, Jasmine. He said conservatives love to argue semantics because they can't argue anything else. What does that even mean? I don't know what that means. If people just spoke clearly and specifically, like, anyway, 833-212-1017 is the number. Angela said, it is ridiculous that just 2 miles from Sherman Park is Endress Park, where houses sell for $300,000. Tara said, great topic. Education is definitely needed. We must attend the financial workshops, which, by the way, are free. Proper long-term investments is a sure path to generational wealth, also allows money to work for you. And then Mercedes said, thanks for the book recommendation. I just ordered it. And Mari said, off topic, but I have to ask, can you call the police when you see reckless driving? Yes, you can. Or is it an inappropriate use of police resources? We chase people who drive recklessly. So, yeah. I'm sorry. They do. I'm retired. What is this? If your dash cam records it, can you send it to the police? No, you cannot. You could send it and they can get an idea, but they have to actually witness it because it's traffic. And so there has to be evidence and all that stuff. And it gets a little convoluted. So I'm pretty sure the DA would not take your dash cam for evidence. I'm just saying. Unless there was an officer there. It's a long thing. 833-212-1017 is the number. Char, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Yeah, I just have to say, number one, I really like your commentary because people, simple minds need to label everything, conservative, whatever. That's a simple mind. The world is much more complex than everybody agreeing on everything in one corner or the other. So I appreciate that, you know, somebody calling you conservative, that's meaningless, totally meaningless. You're who you are.
Well, thank you much,
Char. The other thing is, when you said why does higher education cost so much, I'm going to give you an example. Back when I was in school, I was finishing up my degree, and I needed a credit, a sociology credit. The same course, the same book used at Marquette, the course cost $1,200, and at MATC it was $300. And Marquette took the credit after I finished it at MATC. So what's up with that?
Well, one of the things is that Marquette is private and MATC is public and government funded and people pay tuition to help it out. That's one.
I can appreciate that, but to the core is that higher education is overpriced. It really is. And people have to remember initially what it's going to happen before there were loans and scholarships and stuff like that. Only wealthy people went to school and that was the point.
That is correct.
You know, that's where we're going back to. Only wealthy people, and particularly wealthy white men, were the only people who were able to go to school.
You know some wealthy black people out there, too, though. You know some wealthy black people.
That's true.
Okay. All right.
My final comment is that I went to school after I had 3 children on the weekends after I worked all week. So if you want it bad enough, you got to make sacrifices. I had the same coat and shoes for 3 years.
I know that's right.
you know, because I wanted a degree. So there are ways, if you really want it, stop going to the club, stop doing them big lamy eyelashes and save your money.
And no more never full Louis Vuitton purses.
Yes. You take care.
All right, take care. 833-212-1017, the number. Vincent, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Good evening, Dr. Ken. A great, great, great topic. I'm enjoying it. But I have a question, you know, because in the book it was talking about all these disadvantages black folks had and all the advantages that white folks have. And my question is, why are there so many poor white folks if they have all these advantages? Is it because of laziness, or is it because of the type of system that we're in this country, which is a caste, what I still believe is a caste system, that doesn't allow the masses in order to take advantage of these things? Certainly there's ways in this system, in a capitalist society, that you can move through each economic level, from the top to the bottom, to the bottom to the top. That's one of the beauties of the society. But I still think as a whole, we're still in a caste society that is not going to allow everybody to achieve the kind of financial independence that they want to achieve.
I don't know if I agree with that wholeheartedly. I've watched, seen, and experienced moving from one income level to another. And I understand that information is power. One of the things about the white community that I've noticed is they are very individual. They will cast somebody that does wrong to the side as fast as possible. They will blame and mitigate, like the killer of Charlie Kirk, and say it's mental illness. But when the black guy in Charlotte, who has mental illness documented, kills someone, they say he's evil. Because black people are evil, white people are mentally ill. So those types of nuances are what do us in, but we just need to go beyond that with education. And when I can control, Saul Alinsky and all those guys that were socialists said it, if you can control education, you can stop an entire mass of people from doing what you don't want them to do. And that is what they've done. That is why they want to keep all black kids in public schools, K-12. And I'm not being a conspiracy theorist, but when you take out financial literacy, when you take out driver's education, that makes no sense at all. When you take out the things that help people function as good, decent adults and good, decent citizens, and you remove it, this is what you get.
Yes, but also I think that the community itself and the people that are sending their kids to school, there needs to be a demand to have those things put back. It needs to be a demand to have those things that we want to have those children achieve put back in those schools. And I don't think the demand has been there. I don't think the fact is we need a Marshall Plan, especially for public schools like Milwaukee Public Schools. We need a Marshall Plan that deals with educating those children. And so, but we don't see that outcry from the community to say, hey, this is what we want. And so we get what people give us. I think we're somehow responsible for that as well.
But do you understand why you don't see the outcry?
No. I don't understand why we don't see the outcry. Because the kids are failing. And it also damages the community when those kids fail.
But do you understand why we don't have an outcry? We're really good at knowing what happened, but we're not good in terms of solving it. And so they're not crying out because they don't know. So if you've never been taught that this is important, why would you make it important for your child?
Yeah, that's true.
It's literally that simple. Like if you literally teach financial literacy to a kid in fourth or fifth grade, when they get to eighth or ninth grade, they'll be looking for a job. But we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We teach social media. We teach basketball player, football player. And so you get what you put in, right? Garbage in.
Exactly.
Garbage out.
Garbage out. Exactly. Exactly. Well, keep it up. Like I said, I agree with this particular subject. I think it's needed. And so, hey, it's a good use of your Thursday.
Thank you much. I appreciate it.
Take it easy. Have a good weekend.
All right. You too. 833-212-1017 is the number. When we come back, still didn't get to it. It's Glenn's fault. I got to blame somebody. It's Glenn. He's the only one. He's the only one other than DJ Brother Z, and he's been getting blamed all day. So I thought I'd, you know.
Really?
Yes. And now with 101.7 The Truth Traffic, here is Debbie Lazaga.
Well, looks like we still have this accident northbound 43 right at the ramp from Kilbourne. It is off on the right shoulder, affecting kind of your ride. You got delays going through the Marquette all the way up past the accident scene, technically stretching all the way up to Locust. The southbound side slowing from Keefe all the way through the Marquette and over the high-rise bridge. Another little pocket of heavy traffic heading past Good Hope Road as well. Now, southbound 41 has backups from Good Hope Road all the way down to Capitol Drive. Northbound is backing up from Mayfair Road almost to Capitol, just past Burleigh's, where it actually eases up a bit. And checking the TMJ4 Storm Team forecast tonight, partly cloudy skies, a low of 63. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, slight chance for a shower far to the west, a high of 75 at the lake, 78 inland. From the WTMJ Traffic Center, I'm Debbie Lazaga on 101.7 The Truth.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Girls in my crib, zero Snapchat, zero Instagram, full swing, the vibe might start. Like London Bridge. I don't care if I saw you in a magazine or if you're on TV. That one don't mean nothing to me. Don't
you're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Here's what I was going to do. Right now it's 75 degrees. High was today was 77 with a low of 64. Fair tonight. Fair tomorrow. Saturday, 73 degrees is the high with a 50% chance of rain. So you might want to understand that and recognize that and expect it to, rain. Okay, Matthew's just talking ridiculous now, so I'm not going to read anything he says now. Just ordered the audio version of the book for myself and getting the hard copy for fam. Guess what? Everybody is getting it for Christmas. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's when you read it and you see it in writing and you understand what are some of the things you can do. And so I only got a couple segments left. So what I want to do is go through. I may do two and then do another one later. So. Dorothy Brown examines how workplace structure and the federal tax code intersect to favor white professionals. You say, how's that? Well, compensation benefits and retirement plans, the way they're designed and function with the tax code to help people. She points out that white professionals are more likely to secure jobs offering significant non-wage benefits, such as healthcare, stock options, retirement contributions. Today, that's starting to change and waver. The perks are heavily subsidized by the tax code. Employer-provided health insurance is untaxed. Retirement contributions grow tax-free. And stock-based compensation benefits from preferential capital gains treatment can really help a person out. Now, white employees who historically have greater access to elite networks and opportunities and advisors and all that, hold jobs that provide those benefits. So if you would just get some money and find an advisor that will take you on
and listen to what I'm saying. Not somebody that works for an insurance company. Insurance companies are for buying insurance. Investment companies are for investments. So go to a good investment advisor. I'm going to have some on my show. Okay? All right. She reinforces this argument with stories about black professionals who find themselves excluded from informal networks. That is why middle-class black people poor, black people rich, all join things like Prince Hall Masons, Divine Nine fraternities and sororities, because it includes an informal network that can then guide you to a higher paying job, a benefit rich role, and somewhere where you can then create generational wealth. Make sense? Okay. So ultimately, she talks about the fact that this demonstrates that the tax code is not just about wages. It's literally about wealth building. But certain job-based benefits you're privileged to have. If you're putting money in a 401k, you're putting pre-tax dollars in a 401k, you are lowering your tax liability. Does that make sense? It rewards those already advantaged. And she talks about by race and class. Well, there are a significant number of black people that are advantaged because they have jobs. Now, if you make more because you tend to hire people that look like you, which is why many times we always have a white boss because they hire themselves. You either start your own company or you work within the company in order to rise up and become the boss. It's kind of that simple. But is it simple? Of course not. Life is tough. Life is tough. But then we move to chapter 5 when we talk about that thing that everybody brings up and we talk about, you know, and I guess I should start calling people out. By the way, if you want to call 833-212-1017 is the number. I guess I should call people out. You talk about legacy, but what are you actually doing? I'd start calling people out. Like, you talk about legacy. Oh, I believe in legacy. Okay, what are you doing to create a legacy? Tax law treats gifts and inheritances in a way that most people don't understand that helps families preserve and grow wealth across generations. The more money you have, the more wealth you leave across generations. The transfer of wealth, whether during life or at death, is central to closing that gap. And many people just don't understand how to do it. They die without loans. They die without loans. They die without wills. They die without trusts. They die without simple things that are not expensive to get. White families use cash, homes, stocks, and businesses to pass down. The federal tax code makes this easier because it exempts most estates from taxation. Now, if you look at what the Trump administration did, they raised that number from $5 million to $20 million that you can leave tax-free, federally tax-free. And if I got that wrong, somebody let me know, 833-212-1017. You're stuck on the 20 million part, where if you got 100,000, you can leave that too. I mean, think about that. This means that the tax code makes it easier by exempting most estates from taxation and allowing heirs to receive property with a stepped-up basis. That means that unrealized gains on assets, such as appreciation, you bought your house for 54.5 and sold it for 162.5, or stock values are never taxed when you pass it on to your children. Think about that. As a result, white heirs receive significant untaxed windfalls when somebody dies. Oh, my grandmother died. Now I'm going to college. Think about that. But if you have fewer assets, you have less to transfer. And you got to put it with housing discrimination and education loans and employment that doesn't pay you enough. Even middle class black homes accumulate less. Why? Well, that's another show, too. But she underscores that tax policy facilitates white wealth transfer. But Vincent had it right. It is about caste. It's about how much money you have. For example, Tax deductions for charitable giving disproportionately benefit wealthy, largely white households that have enough disposable income to give at scale. But I know black people that tithe at church, too. The problem is they can't reach the threshold of 7.5% in order to get deductions because they don't give away enough. She drives this point home by saying, what should be a tool for building legacy reinforces disparity. So what are the changes black people need to do? What are some of the things that we as a community need to step up and do? When we come back, I'm going to talk about just that. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. I will hit the talk and text line, the chat in YouTube, X, you name it. I'll be there. Will you?
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Let's see. Okay, I don't know what that means. I'm just reading through the talk and text line. Matthew said, financial literacy means nothing if you aren't making enough money. Absolutely not. That is the 100% wrong way to look at it. Thank you, Matthew. That didn't make no sense. If you're saving 10% or 15%, does it matter if you're saving 15% of a dollar or 15% of $5? 15% is 15%. You learn to live off the difference. It gives you discipline so that when you make more money, you save more money. Like it's, anyway, mindset. Loke said, just ordered the audible. Okay, read that. Laron said, what about black people in the same positions? I don't know what that means. What do you mean, Laron? Okay, you asked and answered. However, there are some blacks who are invited to but don't attend those informal meetings. Well, it's on them. We don't live in a socialist society. I know some of y'all want that. You want to just make people do stuff, but you can't. You can't. Loke said, I agree, there's a time when blacks valued education and being educated. I would be careful when you assign a reason to something when you don't have enough information to figure out what that is. We don't know why black people don't want to go to school. We don't know why. Like, we need to ask because I believe every individual has an individual reason why they don't want to do something. And so while they're all doing the same thing, you can't assume they're all doing it for the same reason. That's all I'm saying. Nowadays, more and more younger generations aspire to be entertainers and athletes and just rich and famous. I'm a boomer and we had that too. I'm just saying. So, I mean, it's just part of life, right? We live in a democratic republic and you're able to work and grow barring any negatives. You get to, you know, kind of do your thing. So, but I understand where you're coming from. Completely. Let me check the text line. Okay. We're good there. So finally, how do you fix this stuff? Because we're about solutions, right? It's not about the fight. It's about the solution. She argues that because the U.S. tax code is deeply embedded within structures that favor white wealth accumulation, incremental reforms are not enough to close the gap. What's needed is a rethinking of how taxes are designed and who benefits. She says race-neutral policies are not enough. The tax code has always produced disparities. Reforms have to be explicit. They have to be clear. And she calls for greater transparency. I say we need to give our kids a class on taxes. Give our kids a class. Like, nobody taught me how to do taxes. It was one day, hey, you owe taxes. What? And then I had to go to somebody to fill it out and do my taxes. Like, literally, that's how I figured it out. It shouldn't be that way. The federal government publishes everything Get this. The federal government publishes everything by race, gender, and income, except the taxes that they get. Nowhere in taxes will it say you can find your zip code, you can find your subdivision, you can find all that information about where you live, except by race. Men, women, not race. Why is that? Because it'll show that the system is not equal. Mortgage interest deductions, preferential cash gains treatment, and the estate tax. I think, and this is where I venture away from Dorothy A. Brown, Dr. Dorothy Brown, we need to just start teaching it. Because information is power, and if you don't know, you don't know. So just like Matthew had a comment about making little or no money, that is not a reason not to save. It's not. The compound interest on money that's invested will significantly give you a really decent life when you retire. And we're talking about $100. $100 a week. $100 every time you get paid over 30 years. So we say it, we're just too impatient. We want to show it now. We want to floss now. We want to let everybody see it. Direct subsidies, wealth taxes, and credits targeted towards families historically shut out of wealth-building opportunities should happen, and I agree with her. Brown recognizes that such reforms will face political resistance because when you can move up to me. And see, there's the thing that if I move up to middle class, I'm going to want to move in your neighborhood. I really don't. She insists that acknowledging and addressing racialized outcomes and tax policies is essential to creating a fairer society. I don't know if I believe that. I think if I give you enough information and give you enough of the things that you can do, you can take advantage of the same system. I see too many black people doing it. I have done it. And there's no reason someone else can't do it. But again, it comes down to what information do you have? We all know the gap's not closing itself. But I don't know if race-conscious tax reform is going to do it when we haven't taught the people. You know, that's the, what's the name of that baseball movie? Field of Dreams. If you build it, they'll come. Right. You could change the law, but will we come? Will they teach us? We got to go back to talking about people like Jill Underly that has done absolutely nothing to help MPS publicly. She hasn't spoken out in support, and it's public school. But I bet if it were Green Bay or Shorewood, she would definitely speak out. She would definitely speak out. And the reason she would speak out is because they look like her. And here's my thing. Prove me wrong. That's all. And I don't know what she would do, honestly. I have no understanding or know why she does what she does. It just makes no sense. I think that she's not the person. Because we need to get not financial literacy, but financial training into each and every single person that's in K-12 school. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Thank you for hanging with me for Black Book Thursday. I'll be talking about who we're going to have in October, and I might even have a special surprise for you coming in October. Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate you, brother. God bless. Take care. I will see you in 22 hours. I'm out.